Amen. Good morning. You guys can take a seat. How are we today? Are we so good? For those new or visiting, my name is Ryan, and I am the lead pastor here at Arbor. It's so good to see all of you. How many of you, to all of my football fans, how many of you are excited that the football season is kicking off this weekend? How many of you are pumped?
Pretty pumped.
Heard from someone that the over-under on Seahawks jerseys at church today would be 3.5, and I think we cleared that, right? We're over on that. There's got to be like 5-6 jerseys here today. I am really excited about this year's Chicago Bears. They are playing right now, so no spoilers. Please, no spoilers. I'll be watching them this afternoon as all of you are watching your little Seattle Seahawks play. This is a new Chicago Bears. There's a new Bears team. We had like a TV show about the team this year. We got that new quarterback, Caleb Williams. We got that wide receiver from that team that got second place in the national championship, Romo Odunze, you know that guy? We're really excited. The expectations are pretty normal. A string of undefeated seasons with multiple Super Bowls, okay, right? That's what we're hoping in Chicago Bears land right now. Nothing like a new season of sports to get your expectations super high only to have them crushed in a matter of weeks, right? Mariners fans know what I'm talking about. Ooh, okay. However, as excited as I am for this year's football season, I am significantly more excited to get back into the rhythm and routine of life here in our church at Arbor. Are you with me on that? You guys were a little more excited about church than football, okay? So I'm excited. That's good. We're on a good track right now. We are starting a new series at the beginning of this new ministry year that we're calling Arbor Is. Arbor Is. Now, summer in the Pacific Northwest, we would all agree, it is a beautiful place to be, right? We love our summer in the Pacific Northwest. We get out, we go out, and we go on adventures, we go on trips, we take time off, we spend time in the great outdoors. But now, as the fall schedules come rushing back in, and all of us start to hunker back down for the big gray in fall and in winter, I thought it would be good, I thought it would be prudent for us to reacquaint ourselves and remind ourselves of who we are as a community, what we're doing here, and why we're doing it. Because we can fall in one of two traps as we go through life. Sometimes we can find ourselves just stuck in this rut, mindlessly doing the same thing over and over again, and we lose sight of the purpose or the reason for why we do things. Or more likely, during this time of year, as we're transitioning out of summer into fall, we have gotten off track on our routine and the things that we used to do. Those kind of got put off to the side in the summer, and now we're trying to get back on track and remember, what are the things that I did? Why did I do those things for my faith? And that's what this new series is all about. This new series is a bit of a reset of sorts as we head into this ministry year and we remind our hearts, we remind our minds of what we're doing and why we're doing. And so this new series, Arbor Is, that's what it's all about. And what is Arbor? Well, this is what Arbor is. Arbor is a community that gathers together, following Jesus, growing in generosity, and going in love. That is who we are. Can we say that together this morning? Let's practice that together. Let's try this. Arbor is a community that gathers together, following Jesus, growing in generosity, and going in love. Give you guys a round of applause for doing that. Fantastic job. For the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to take different pieces of that definition, and we're going to break them down, and we're going to reacquaint, and we're going to remind ourselves of who we are and why we're doing what we're doing. And my hope this season is that we would be challenged as a community to grow, and what my friend and one of our elders here, Darcy, says, that we would be challenged to go higher up and deeper in. If you're part of the prayer meeting, you've heard Darcy say that multiple times, higher up and deeper in to what God would have for us as a community. That's what I'm hoping for our church during this fall season. So before we go any further, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump in. Father in heaven, we commit this time to you. I commit this teaching to you. I pray that I would get out of the way and your truth would come through. And Lord, we commit this entire ministry year to you. We have high expectations for what you can do because you are a powerful God who can do anything. And so we trust that you are going to move in power, that you are going to transform lives, and that you're going to draw us closer to yourself so that we will become more like your son, Jesus, God. We pray all of this in his powerful name. Amen. Okay, so for as long as I can remember, I've been going to church. Going to church has been part of my routine, part of my rhythm for as long as I could remember. Now, that's not like a flex to be like, I've been going to church forever. How long have you been going to church? It's not that. It's to say, though, that this has been a part of my life for a long time. That doesn't mean I've always enjoyed going to church. Like, my mom tells this story of when I was like 3 or 4 years old, and she would get us ready for church, and we'd be at church. And this is back in like the late 80s at a little conservative Bible church in the suburbs of Chicago. And they'd get us out of the minivan, and I would just be screaming the whole time, "No Jesus! No Jesus!" Just did not like church at the time. But, you know, my parents, they hired this exorcist. They got rid of that problem, and... No, I'm just kidding, obviously. Eventually, I came to like enjoy going to church. I didn't just like going to church, but it's where I fell in love with Jesus. And I started growing in a relationship with him. Church is where I've formed some of my deepest, most longest-lasting relationships with other people. Church is where I've been confronted with the reality of certain shortcomings and habits and hang-ups in my life. And I was offered a gracious, loving, forgiving community to step into that and grow and change. Church has been a wonderful thing. But sadly, and I think this is important to say today, I think it's important to hold space for this idea. Church is also where I've experienced some of my deepest, most painful relational hurts. Anyone else there with me on that? Church is where I've seen people confronted with their hang-ups and their problems, and instead of repenting and moving toward a life of flourishing in Jesus Christ, they pridefully walked away. Church is where I've seen some terrible things. It's been this mixed bag of good and bad, and maybe your experience is similar to mine. Maybe you have a similar experience of church, and there's been a lot of good and a lot of great things that have happened at church, but there's been a lot of bad as well. And that's what we carry into today as we talk about this idea of being a community that gathers together. And what I want us to learn today, though, is that yes, we all carry in this baggage, we all carry in the good, we all carry in the bad about church life and going to church and gathering together. But what I want us to see in the scriptures today, and what I pray the Spirit makes clear to us today, is that gathering together as the people of God is a good thing. It is a good thing. It is deeply imperfect. And as you lean into it, you're going to encounter difficulty. You're going to encounter painful things. But what we see in the scriptures is that gathering together with the people of God is a good thing. It is not a perfect thing, but it is one of the better things that God has on offer for us. And so I want us to look at some reasons as to why we gather together as a people. Who are we as a church? We are a church that gathers together. Why do we gather together? Well, gathering with other Christians is essential to my faith. We see this throughout the New Testament. Gathering with other followers of Jesus, it is a non-negotiable. And let's start with Jesus. Jesus is a good place to start, right? And Jesus said this in Luke 11:23. He said, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Certainly so many of us have heard this verse before, but have we ever really thought about what Jesus is saying here? Listen again. Jesus says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." And so we as Christians, we have to ask ourselves, am I gathering together with and for Jesus with other people, or am I scattering? What have I been doing with my life? For so many of us as Christians, especially since COVID, we have been moving more and more toward this mentality of scattering. We've come to believe that gathering together is just optional. It's not what Jesus believed essential. You know, when Jesus was tortured and crucified and he rose again, he went to go find his disciples. Do you know where his disciples were? They were scattered, actually. The opposite. they were scattered. And so what Jesus did was he found the leader of the group. He found Peter, and he asked him three separate times. He said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And then check this out. In John 21, 16, Jesus asks him again, repeats the question. He says, "Simon, son of John." He uses Peter's name that his mother gave him at birth. So you know Jesus means business. It's like when my mom would be like, "Ryan Christopher." I knew she meant business. Now all of you know my middle name. I'm going to regret saying that in front of all of you now. Jesus is like, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said this, "Then take care of my sheep." Who are the sheep? Who are the sheep? We are. The church. Jesus wants to know, do you love him? And if you love him, if you are following him, if you are listening to him, he says, "Well, then take care of my sheep. Be a part of my church. Feed them. Be here. Be present. Grow in relationship with them." Jesus is saying that part of the core of what it means to follow Jesus, not an optional add-on, is gathering together with his people. We gather together in large groups on Sunday. We gather together in smaller groups throughout the week. This is who we are. This is our faith. We are a people who gather together. Acts 2:1, listen to this. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers, how many of the believers? All of the believers, they what? Gathered together in one place. And right here, this is where the church was born. The believers were gathered together. They were not scattered about in different homes. The Holy Spirit did not do this remotely, okay? He could have. The Holy Spirit was zooming around before Zoom was a thing, you know? But like, that was really bad, I know. I'm really sorry, okay? It just wasn't even in my notes. It just came out of my mouth. I'm going to regret that. He gathered them together in one place, and the church was born. And if you keep reading on, like 18 chapters later, Acts 20, verse 7 says this, "On the first day of the week when we were," what? "Gathered together to break bread." And you see, we don't just gather together for no purpose because we've got nothing better to do. I'm sure there's plenty on your to-do lists right now. But we gather together, and not just to eat a meal. And they're referring to, you know, the Lord's Supper here. And it's not just about the cracker and the juice that we do occasionally throughout the week. We gather together to break bread and to remember what Jesus has done for us, what he's accomplished for us, the life he has lived for us. We gather together once a week, week after week, because we are a forgetful people. And we need this. We need this reminder. And some of us might say, "Well, my faith is personal. I just do my own thing, and I've got my own thing, and it's just me and Jesus." And I would say, great to that. Like, your faith should be personal. This should be something that you are growing in one-on-one with Jesus. But listen, your faith can't just be personal. Your faith can't be isolated. And the tough thing that I would say to some of us here today is this: if your faith is just you and Jesus and it is isolated, then your faith really is not about Jesus in that moment. You need others. You need a community to come alongside you, to walk with you, to gather with you. It has to involve others. One more verse here on this point. 1 Corinthians 11:33 says, "So my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other." Now this verse might seem inconsequential, but hear this. So many of us, when we come to church, we're like, "Man, I hope I get something out of church today. I hope there's something in the teaching that like hits me. I hope the preacher brings something good." Do you know how much pressure that is week after week? It's a lot. It's a lot. And listen, some Sundays are just not going, there's going to be nothing for you, okay? But that's not the point of our gathering together. Sometimes we gather together and you're going to have something on offer for someone else here in this room. You're going to be bringing that encouragement. You're going to be bringing that word. Your presence is going to bring the thing for that other person. Someone just seeing you here today, that's going to be an encouragement enough for them to be like, "I can keep doing this. I can keep going." And in fact, that leads us to our second point, the importance of why we gather together. Gathering with other Christians encourages my faith. When we gather here, this encourages our faith. I know it's early on a Sunday morning and you're like, I just want to watch some football today. I'm just trying. Listen, it does. How many of you need encouragement today? You're going to say, I just need encouragement. It seems like everywhere we turn, social media, the news, random conversations, everything is so discouraging. But listen to this, Hebrews 10. Let us hold. And I want you to just stop and think about today, this morning, when you came into this room, what were you holding on to? What are you holding on to right now? For some of you, what you're holding on to is you are holding on to disappointment. And life has been hard, and you've gone through some difficult circumstances over the last few months, over the last couple of years, and you're holding on to disappointment. Some of you here today, you are holding on to bitterness. And you're like, I'm so good at holding on to bitterness. Listen, don't be. The writer of Hebrews says, let us hold, not to those things, let us hold to what? Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur, and let's think about that word spur for a second, and not even like an academic sort of way. You know, we are in the West, but Seattle is not really like Cowboy West, you know? You have to go further east to go to the Cowboy West. And think about, like, what is a spur? A spur is that thing on the back of a cowboy's boot, right? And what does a cowboy use a spur for? But they kind of kick it, it's kind of a sad thing, right? They kick it into a horse and it makes it go forward. It makes it go faster. It's painful. And so listen, we are called as a church to spur. And so sometimes the things we hear here might feel a little painful, might feel a little offensive when we're gathered together in community and someone's, you know, sharing something or calling us out on something. It might feel a little painful, but maybe that pain is just the Spirit calling us toward greater Christ-likeness. Let us consider how we might spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Would we consider this? The Greek word for consider here is this word katanoeo, which doesn't just simply mean like you walk in and you see someone and it's off-the-cuff encouragement, like, hey, nice Seahawks jersey, as if anyone would say that, you know what I mean? But it's like a nice Bears jersey, right? That would be like the... No, it's like deeper encouragement. It's like thinking about what that person needs. It's knowing that person and knowing where they're at and being considerate and giving them that encouragement. But it's not just what we say to other people. Listen to this. It's not just what you say as a follower of Jesus. It's also what you do as a follower of Jesus. Listen to the rest of Hebrews 10 here. Let us not give up gathering together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us not neglect meeting and gathering together. Some of you are in the habit of gathering together. Some of you are not. Let us get into this habit of gathering together. Man, there have been seasons in my life, and maybe you have seasons like this as well, where like your physical health is just super awesome. You ever have this? Like where like you feel like I'm actually working out for the first time in my life and I'm eating healthy. Have you ever had those seasons before? Some of you? I had that kind of season. Some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never had that. During COVID, I was like really committed to like working out. Perhaps it was just my way of trying to exert control in a chaotic environment. But I was working out all the time. I was super healthy. Now, not so much. And there's nothing like trying to get back into working out to be reminded as to how out of shape you've gotten, right? Like that first workout, you feel like, all right, I'm getting back into it. But the next day, you're like, what did I just do to myself? Oh my goodness. Listen, when we don't work out our bodies change. And the same thing goes for our souls. When we are not engaged in the practices that we see Jesus engaged in, when we are not engaged in this practice of gathering together, our soul changes. And not for the better. We need this gathering together. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day coming. As this world gets increasingly chaotic and wilder and weirder, we need to gather together all the more for encouragement. We need this all the more. You see, the older I get, the more I find that like encouragement from other people is the greatest gift. And that God is calling me to be someone who encourages other people. Like when I was younger husband, a younger father, there were moments I can reflect on where I was just hard on a friend, or I was hard on Carrie, or I was hard on the kids, and I had these expectations. And then I would just like ride them, and I would get frustrated easily. And I look back and I think, man, like, they were doing their best. And so many of us, we're just doing our best. And the thing that they didn't need more of was they didn't need more judgment. They didn't need more criticism. They needed encouragement. They needed love from me in those moments. Church, we are all so desperately hungry for encouragement. And we're not going to randomly find this encouragement mystically isolated by ourselves. Sometimes we find that. But the primary vehicle with which God wants to encourage you are the people around you. Look around you. This is the agent in which God wants to encourage your life, the people around you. We gather together for encouragement. So if you're a young married person, and by that I mean 3, 5, 7, 9 years, would God provide and surround you in this space with couples that have been married for 20, 30, 40 years to encourage you when you're feeling like, man, this is really hard. How do we get through this? They can be like, don't give up. Or maybe you're struggling in your faith right now. Maybe you're wrestling with doubt and you're wrestling with some beliefs and some thoughts about Jesus or about the Bible or about God. Would you find other people here at this church who've wrestled with those doubts, who've wrestled with those things and could walk alongside you and can provide encouragement to you to keep pressing on? Don't give up. We're called to be an encouragement to one another. C.S. Lewis wrote this. Listen to this. Christ works on us in all sorts of ways, but above all, he works on us through each other. People are mirrors or carriers of Christ to other people. That is why the church, the whole body of Christians showing up, showing him to one another, is so important. The primary way Jesus encourages you is through the church, the body of Christ, the relationships you form as you follow after Jesus. Finally, one more reason. Why do we gather together? Why do we go to church? Number three, gathering with other Christians, it empowers my faith. Gathering with other followers of Jesus empowers my faith. All right, church, there have been a couple times here where I have come to church and I was not preaching, and afterward, someone asked me, why did you come to church today if you weren't preaching? Like, listen, I need this just as much as anyone else. This is essential for me. I gain encouragement here, and I am empowered by being with all of you. A few weeks ago when Scott was preaching, I was encouraged and empowered by that message. Last week when Pastor Allison was preaching, I was encouraged and empowered by that teaching. I'm encouraged and empowered when I spend time with all of you. When we sing together, I'm encouraged, empowered. Sometimes I'll just stop singing. I sit here in the second row. I'll just stop singing, and I know the music can be a little loud sometimes, but I can hear your voices up here in the front row. And I'll just stop singing, and your voices encourage me so much as we unify them together and we pray. I find such encouragement and such empowerment there. Jesus said this. Listen to the words of Jesus. He said, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered," and where are they gathered together? At a football game? At a political rally? No, when they're gathered where? In my name, there I am among them. This is why we gather, church, because Jesus promises to be present with us when we gather together. He promises to be here. But Jesus is in my heart. Yes, he is in your heart, but Jesus promises to be present when God's people gather together in a way that he is not present anywhere else. Something special happens when the people of God gather together and lift up their voices in prayer. He meets with us in a special way. We can't do this alone. We can't. We need one another. We need to be empowered by one another. You know, many of us probably can think back in times of our lives, and maybe some of us in this room are going through something like this right now. Times in our lives when circumstances were tremendously difficult and we felt isolated or alone. Or maybe we had made decisions in our lives that we regretted or that we regret right now, and we are suffering out the consequences. And we feel the weight of those decisions. We feel the shame. We feel the guilt, and we carry that around with us. And we've isolated ourselves. We're alone, stuck in the power of sin. That's a dangerous place to be. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he wrote this. He said, the more isolated a person is, the more destructive will be the power of sin over him. And the more deeply he becomes involved in it, the more disastrous is his isolation. Sin demands to have a man by himself. The more lonely people become, the more destructive the power of sin over them. It's a sobering reminder of the power of sin and the destructive power of isolation that sin takes advantage of. Church, I know that, you know, it's 2024. We've said this countless times before. I'm sure you've heard it online, on the news. We are now more connected than ever before through our phones, through the internet, through social media. But time and time again, what you'll see about our society right now is that we are more isolated and alone than ever before. There's a recent study from like 3 years ago by this group called Cigna that said that 61% of all Americans say they feel alone, isolated, lonely. That was 3 years ago. Those numbers have probably only gone up in the last 3 years. Those numbers continue to go up. Listen, we are not meant to do this life, to do following Jesus by ourselves on our own. We were meant to gather together. And when we have isolated ourselves and the power of sin has wrapped its tentacles around us, that is a dangerous place to be. I remember about 20 years ago, I found myself in that very spot. I was going into my sophomore year of college, and that summer before my sophomore year of college, I was 19 years old. I made a lot of 19-year-old decisions that summer, okay? A lot of very stupid, a lot of very selfish decisions. And I'd hurt some people that were very close to me that I loved very much, and I'd gone back to school, and I had isolated myself from all of those people, from all those people in my community, people, guys on my floor at my school. I went to a Bible school in Chicago, and I'd isolated myself, and I was just going back and forth between the classroom and my room, and I was alone, and I was starting to get really sick until this friend of mine, James, and James ended up being the best man at my wedding, and James pulled me out of the room. He forced me out of the room. He forced me to re-engage with guys on the floor. He forced me to go to church. He's like, you know, you're doing this, man. I'm getting you out of this isolated little bubble, and I'm drawing you back into this community, back into the light, back into life. And listen, it was painful. It was painful as I was confronted with some of the decisions that I made that I had to repent of and seek forgiveness from other people. That was painful. But day after day, as I continued to move out of isolation back in toward community, my soul started to heal. I was afforded an opportunity with people, an environment that was forgiving, that was merciful, that was gracious, that was full of love. And the Holy Spirit began to turn my life around as I moved from this season of isolation back into community, back into humbly serving others, back into being known by other people, back into making sacrifices for other people instead of myself. We need each other, church. We must gather together. It is a top priority. And so here's my simple challenge for all of us today. It took me a lot of time to come up with this. Are you ready for it? Here's the challenge. Gather more. Gather more. Just do it. More. I am not asking on this Sunday morning, I am not asking that you make a commitment to not miss a single Sunday all year long, okay? That would be crazy. And there's not some sort of legalistic thing where like you're a better person or a better Christian if you come to church more frequently, if we gather more, if you get involved in a group. I am simply sharing this with you right now. I'm saying gather more. In the same way that I would be encouraging you to eat healthier, to live an active lifestyle, in the same way that following this, that gathering with God's people leads to a healthier, flourishing, abundant life, the life that Jesus promises is available as we gather together. Go to church more. If you look back on the past year and you're like, yeah, on average, I went like one or two times a month, just take that next step. Maybe it's two or three times a month if you're able. If you're like, no, I'm coming to church pretty regularly and I want to get more involved in real relationship and I want to be involved in a group, then join a group. wherever you're at, over these next few minutes, would you seek God's Spirit and would you just ask him and invite him, be like, well, what would you have for me? Where would you stretch me as you call me today, Jesus, to gather together? And let me tell you this, chances are whatever step he's inviting you to take this morning, it's gonna make you a little uncomfortable, okay? It's gonna be a little inconvenient. There might involve a little bit of sacrifice in following Jesus and gathering more. Because listen, this community needs you as much as you need this community, all right? We need each other. And I get that we are all very busy people. I get that. Fall comes, school starts, the sports schedule comes crashing in, man. Like we looked at our calendars and it is already crazy. And maybe you're in that same boat. But listen, this should be a priority. This should be a priority, gathering together. And so would you take this challenge and would you seek God's Spirit for direction in your life about it? Gather more. We are people who gather together. This is what Arbor is. We gather because it's essential. We gather because we are encouraged by gathering. And we gather because God's Spirit empowers us as we gather together. Would you stand with me as I pray? Father, we thank you for this gift. I thank you for the gift of this community, and I thank you for the people in this room. I look out as I teach this lesson today, and I'm just filled with encouragement and with hope about the people that you have gathered here, Lord. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would spur us on to encourage, to gather more. God, that you would make space, that you would help us to see the areas in our life where you are challenging us and you are stretching us to gather more. Lord, I pray on those Sunday mornings when it is gray out and we are tired and we've had a busy week, Lord, that you would compel us and propel us to gather with God's people. Lord, I pray for those of us who are committing to gather in a group this fall. Lord, I pray that on those nights, again, when life is chaotic and it's busy and we could use the free night, Lord, that we would gather together knowing that it is worth it, that we will find encouragement there, that you call us to do that, Lord, and that we will be empowered by the presence of other people as we gather together. Lord, again, we thank you for this gift. We know it's imperfect. Lord, I know that there are many in this room that have been hurt by the church and that there is pain. There are people taking steps back into church right now. And Lord, I pray that they would understand that you are a gracious God, Lord, that this is a place where we can just come as we are. And so, God, I pray that we would just take steps as you invite us to. There's no absolute standard here, God, but we just want more of you. That is what we long for, and that is what I long for everyone here, to have more of you, to flourish, to grow, and have an abundant life. Again, we thank you for this morning, for the privilege and the blessing and gift of gathering. In Jesus' name.